Well, the Christmas nativity play was going well so far. Jesus had been born. They'd been rejoicing between Mary and Joseph, and the angels had turned up with good news, great news, to the shepherds. So Mary and Joseph were simply waiting for the shepherds to arrive. That was the story. They were waiting. But the shepherds never came. From backstage came three voices as three young lads dressed in their bathroom robes as shepherds started arguing. I meant to go first. No, Mrs. Cole said I was going first. And before anyone could intervene, they were using their crooks to hit each other. It was a full-on fight. It took the sports teacher, Mr. Curtis, and another one of the male teachers, Mr. Jones, to intervene and to drag these boys out of the hall and give them a good telling off. Well, that year, the shepherds never turned up for the nativity play. And sometimes when we read the scriptures and we read this Christmas story, the Christmas story, we must wonder, what would be missing if, say, the wise men didn't come? Or what would be missing if the angels weren't there? What would be missing if the angel hadn't gone to the shepherds and the shepherds hadn't gone to see Jesus, the Saviour, the Messiah, the Lord? What would be missing? Well, I invite you to once again retell, but put yourself in the shepherd's shoes and consider the good news that they receive from the angel. It's good news that tells them that God has come to them, to us, that God cares for them and for us, and that God calls them and us to himself. God has come, God cares, and God calls us. We have to sometimes work hard to concentrate because we have to get rid in a way of those images of a shepherd with his fluffy sheep and us going, oh, that's nice. Let's remember that shepherds were dirty, smelly, had not a very pleasant job. They had to work with sheep who get lost all the time, who aren't always very clever. I hope that doesn't ruin the whole pastoral image for you. But let's just know that this is real life. These shepherds weren't considered highly in their society in their day. They didn't have a great job. And yet, God's messengers of light come to them with this great news of this shepherd king. It's really good news. Firstly, we see that God comes to us. He comes to them. The angel turns up, and when an angel turns up, you're going to be terrified. This is one of God's messengers, and God is light and perfect and holy. And one of his representatives turns up. And that is why the angel says, first off, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. For look, or behold, I am bringing you good news. Something amazing is about to happen. I'm bringing good news of great joy, not just for the Jewish people, but for all the people. All the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is the Messiah, the Lord. Did we hear that? God was born that night. And the angels tell the shepherds that good news. That means God, while he is awesome and mighty, has also come to us to be this incredibly vulnerable, independent baby child, human being. It reminds us of another name that he has, which is Emmanuel, God with us, which is incredible. What is it like for Jesus to come to us, for Jesus, the Son of God, to come to us? It's difficult to find a comparison, but have you ever seen that show Undercover Boss? Do you know the premise of the show Undercover Boss? The title gives it away, but a boss of a company goes undercover in their own company to see what it's like to work right at the bottom. So one boss puts on a moustache. It is convincing. It looks convincing. And he goes in to work for his removals company as somebody who packs up boxes and who loads them on a truck. He gets a first-hand experience of what it's like to work for him, if that makes sense. He finds out which of his employees are good employers to work with and which ones are lazy or cut corners. He comes in disguise to get a first-hand experience, and it helps him actually in the end to reward the faithful and to punish or fire the lazy. But whatever he does, he actually experiences what it's like, so that he doesn't remain aloof in his office, but he comes and gets a first-hand experience. Now just think of that, but on a much bigger scale. God, the creator of all things, becomes part of his creation to experience it. I mean, God does know our plight, our human suffering, our pain. He knows the impact that sin has on our lives and how we've all run away from him. Yet he comes to experience that and see that firsthand. It's why he can know what it's like to be you, to be me. He knows pain, he knows suffering, he knows joy, he knows laughter. He knows what it's like to be a child and run and fall and graze your knee and have your parent console you. He knows what it's like to be betrayed by his friends. He no doubt experienced family arguments. God knows what it's like to be us. He comes to us. He gets personal. He gets intimate. He knows you. He knows me. Now, it would take a lifetime to really sort of plumb the depths of that truth. And I encourage you to keep looking into who God is and finding out more about him. There's always more to learn. It's one of the wonderful things about being a Christian. You never stop learning. And as you learn, you grow and you change. Your old ways fall off and you put on the new ways of goodness that he shows you. And you live for him and you rejoice. Well, we see the shepherds rejoice for this great news of God has come to you this night. We see how they rejoice. They respond with amazement, and their amazement causes them to act. They don't just simply go, wow, that's incredible, and keep looking after their sheep. They go, wow, that's incredible. Let's go find out what the angel said. They go and investigate. Is what the angel said, is it really true? Better go and find out. And off they go. They go with clues, in a way, given to them by the angels. You'll find a child wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And what happens? They go and they find a child wrapped in cloths, lying in the manger. It's why there's those details repeated so often. The angel tells the shepherd this, the shepherds see this, and they tell everyone what the angel had told them and what they've seen. And everyone is amazed by what the shepherds say. They're amazed and they act. They go looking. I wonder if you've received good news and you've acted upon it, or you've heard something, a rumour, or something from someone, and you've gone, oh, is that really true? It's a bit trivial, but do you remember being at school and you find out that a particular girl likes you? Oh, does she really? Well, me? No. Really? No. Oh, what do I do? I have no idea what to do. The awkward teenage moment of total inaction. What do I do? There was once I went on an art trip to London once. I used to did secondary school in England, and the art gallery is just off the edge of Trafalgar Square. But when we got to Trafalgar Square, there was this massive crowd. The whole place was full of people. It's a bit like Federation Square in Melbourne being full of people, or do we have an equivalent in Perth? Forest Chase. Okay, so just imagine that, a crowd full of people and this art class, year 9 boys, in our uniforms, our ties and so on, all very proper. We turn up and there's this massive crowd. Now, we were going to the art gallery, but then we heard somebody say, Nelson Mandela's coming. And we're going, what? Huh? And so at that point, at least the teacher lost control of the class. It was an all-boys class. We all sort of ran to the front, using our rugby skills to kind of shuffle through people, bob and weave and duck and so on. And we got as close as we could to the barrier, behind which there was a red carpet that led all the way across the square to the South African Embassy, which is on one side of Trafalgar Square. And there I am, school uniform, with a school classmate on my shoulders, and Nelson Mandela walks past. I like to think that he turned and he smiled at me, but we'll never know. But we arrived, and there was this great commotion. There was this news, this little bit of news, and we acted upon it. We didn't go, oh, well, let's just stand back and see. We said, we've got to see him. So we ran to the front. We acted upon the good news. That was the best art trip ever. I cannot remember anything in the gallery. I just remember the excitement. And looking back going, wow, what an incredible occasion that was. That was amazing. And even remembering something of what he said when he gave his speech. The shepherds get this news and they go and investigate to find out if it really is true. And when they find out it is true, they're amazed, they're overwhelmed. The right response to this news of Jesus, that God has come to us in Jesus at Christmas, is to be amazed, but also to act. Not to just sit and do nothing, but to respond and go, how can I find out more? How can I grow in finding out this God who has come to me and who loves me? Who loves me? Our second point, God cares for us. He cares for you. He cares for me. How do you know someone loves you? You know sometimes by their words or their actions or both. Their actions, like it all proves their love for you, their service. They go out of their way for you. We've probably all had bad experiences, maybe like this one. I worked for someone once who publicly said, I love Devon and I'm going to support him in his training to become a minister. There was a public praise that I received from this man. But privately, he would criticise everything I did. He'd always say, you need to work on this, you need to work on this, you need to work on this, you need to work on this. That's all I remember, or really. But he'd say, you need to work on this, I'll help you, but he never helped. I was waiting, but it never came. And that hurt incredibly. To have somebody say, I love you, but to have nothing at the end of the day hurt. And I didn't trust him. I didn't trust him. It was sad. I spent the next year trying to work through what had gone on and how let down I felt. But in a different setting, another man, a lecturer of mine, I knew that he loved me and supported me. Because once I had a massive argument at college with another student. I can't remember exactly what it was about, but I was left confused. I was left sad. I had no idea why this student had responded as he did. I just couldn't make sense of it all. And this lecturer came to find out what all the noise was about. Now, when I argue with people, I don't tend to shout, but this ended in a shouting match. And this lecturer, Peter, stopped his class, said, okay, he just gave them a question to do, and he came to sit with me for 5 minutes, sit with me in silence, sit with me asking some questions, and just to console me. His being there showed me that he cared, he loved me, he was willing to give up 5 minutes of his class in order to come and serve me for something that I was in a mess about. I knew that he loved me. And when it comes to knowing whether God loves us or not, first of all, we see that he doesn't stay up there in the sky or wherever he lives in somewhere. He comes to us. He comes to be with us. And he shows us when he goes to die on the cross for the sins, for the punishment we deserve, he shows us how he sacrifices himself for our sake to bring us back to him. We must notice what the angel tells the shepherds. To you is born this day in the city of David a saviour, someone who will save like only God can. God is the only one who has a really entitled to be called saviour. And here they're being told a Saviour has been born to you. This Saviour is the Messiah. And that is such a loaded term, but it means God's chosen, appointed king. God's promise of a shepherd king who would rise up from his people to save his people and to bless the world through them. He's also Lord, which brings to mind the idea of God who is the king. And so this Jesus, this baby, incredible as it seems, they're being told this baby that's born in a barn will be the one who saves you like God, who will be God's perfect king, and who will rule perfectly over you. Isn't that good news? And I hope you also see how terrible it would be to reject this king who has come and who cares for you. If he is a king, God the Almighty, the creator of all things, your life is in his hands. And if you reject his King Jesus, there will be consequences for that. Now there is a warning, isn't there, in Jesus' coming. It's a threat to our independence, to us wanting to rule ourselves, to have the crown on our heads, and not to throw them before the King of all. But Jesus came not to condemn us, but to save us through him. And that is good news. I once was back home in Sevenoaks, where I went to secondary school, or nearby, and in the local paper was a story of a couple. They'd been out walking, and a car suddenly came around the corner. I can't remember the scene exactly, but they didn't hear the car, and the driver didn't see them. And the young man pushed his girlfriend out of the way, but it meant that he had to die. The car hit him. He sacrificed his life in order to save his girlfriend's. I remember being moved by this, and the community was struck by this young man's love, his last act of love, really. He substituted his life for hers. He gave up himself for her sake. And when we come to consider what this baby would grow up to do and who he is, we would see how he would push us out of the way of the death that was coming to us that we deserved. He would give himself up so that we might have life in him. Now, isn't that incredible? God not only comes to observe what is going on, though he knows what's going on, he doesn't only come to experience it, but he also comes to, with a purpose, knowing this, he comes to sacrifice himself to save us for himself. And this brings us to our last point. God calls you, he calls me, he calls all people to himself. While we see clearly that Jesus calls people to himself, drop it all and follow me, there is a call that comes to the shepherds. The announcement of the good news is a call to them. And do they respond to the call? Do they respond to this victory of this wonder that God has come to them? Well, they do, don't they? They respond to the invitation. They respond to this news and they receive it. They accept it. They heed him. The king is born and they go to worship the king. As we celebrate Christmas, keep in mind those wonderful truths. God has come to us. God cares for us. And God calls us to himself. In the coming year, there might be one area you want to focus on or look into more. You might want to consider all three. I think it will take a lifetime to do that. But I encourage you to do that. Let me pray for us. Almighty and merciful and gracious God, we praise you that you do not remain distant, but you come to us to save us and to bring us back to you. We rejoice that you should give yourself to ask that you should die so we might live, and you should rise again to new life to bring us into your eternal kingdom. Lord, remind us of your goodness and your grace towards us, and may that so awe us and amaze us that we follow you all the days of our lives. And we ask all this for the glory of your wonderful and majestic name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to come to a time of prayer now. And Brad, thank you.